and welcome back to the UFO and Aliens podcast. I'm Rick Black.
I'm Robert Wiley.
And so all week long, I'm trying to get back into exercising. Yeah. I gained a ton of weight. I know everybody that hasn't seen me for a while and they see me, they're really nice. They don't say anything about it, but I know they're thinking.
You can see the eyes going.
You have let yourself go.
What
so
happened?
I'm like, this week, it's been a crazy week. I wanted to get on the bike. Mm-hmm. Monday, late night, couldn't go.
Right.
Tuesday, late night, couldn't do it. Wednesday, I'm tired because I had a late night. So Friday comes, I'm like, you know what? I hadn't gone all week. I'm just going to, tomorrow's Saturday.
Right.
So I won't go today on Friday. I'm tired because I'm tired, right?
Right.
But I'll go tomorrow. I got the whole day.
Right.
No dice.
No dice.
My wife calls me and she says, hey, we're going to Epcot. I already got the tickets. I'm like, oh, great. So, and it was hot.
It was hot. It was very hot yesterday.
Thanks for inviting us to
Epcot. You're welcome. We went around the world.
We did. We went around the world, and it was
with a gazillion other people.
It was very people-y, and it was hotter than we expected, and it was more crowded than we expected. So
yes.
I'm sure that in your mind, it was supposed to be a great day, and you were going to show your friends a lot of
it was, and I was disappointed because I was not expecting it to be A, that warm, and B, that people-y.
Yeah,
well, and it, man, it caught me by surprise for sure.
Yeah.
So, but we endured until about 4 o'clock.
We had a good time. We had a good time, but I did not ride the bike yesterday.
Yeah.
So I just got off the bike this morning. I think I might still be sweating a little bit.
Yeah. I came to the door. You opened it up, pouring in sweat.
Wearing my spandex.
And me, I'm still lazy. I'm just like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
Sorry. I haven't had a shower yet. Yeah. He had to wait. Sorry. We're a little behind. Oh, I do have to tell you. We were talking about this a little earlier, and I told you, boy, do I have a story for you.
Yeah.
And we're talking about kids and technology.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a class. Mm-hmm. I teach music. And one of my classes is not an instrument. I teach instrumental music, but one of them is not an instrument. Mm-hmm. It's like a general music class. And I was having these kids. We were doing rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And so we watched the documentary on rock and roll. And I told them, okay, today what we're going to do is you guys, I have these 5 questions. And you have to research these questions. There are only 5,
mm-hmm.
but you have to research the questions and you're going to have to, you know, find the answers. And one of them, who invented rock and roll? Well, there's no answer to that. You have to dive in and,
right.
and do some research, read this article, read what this person has to say.
Bill Haley in the comments.
Okay. Little Richard, Elvis right. Presley, yeah, you know, right. you could have an argument for anybody. But that's what I wanted them to do. I wanted them to get in there and I looked. 5 minutes later, the girl's got her Chromebook closed, and she's just sitting there. Said, what are you doing? Said, I'm done.
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah,
I know where this is going.
She's just cut and paste. Cut and paste.
Cut and
one
paste.
Article, cut and paste. One article, cut and paste. I'm like, that's not what I wanted you to do.
I think we were talking yesterday, like, for this information that you used to have to get, we used to have to actually go to the library. Go to an encyclopedia.
Yeah, that's right.
And we were talking
about encyclopedia.
Yeah. Like, I don't think the kids realize how easy they have.
Okay,
it
if they had lived, if they had lived, well, let's just reverse this. Let's say it's me mm-hmm. and I know what it takes to go, and you got to find a magazine on mm-hmm. the article. You got to find maybe somebody at the community college that specializes in that. And you go talk to that person.
Right.
You go and you get a book, maybe 2 books, maybe 3 books,
mm-hmm.
and you find, you know, there's a lot of different sources and it takes you a week. Oh, of course we didn't wait. You know.
We waited the last minute usually.
Yeah, we did. But at the beginning when we were assigned that, we did get a lot of material. So mm-hmm. that last day, we're finally getting around to reading it,
yeah.
but we had the material. I could just pick up my phone and I could.
It's at your fingertips.
When we prepare for this show.
Right.
If I know what I want to do, I want to do a story on this. I don't go to one source.
Right.
I look, what did this, you know, what
try
I always, you
anything.
Know what, I admit, I do look at Wikipedia to see what they have to say about it.
See Wikipedia and then see if there's a Time or Newsweek or
right.
a publication.
But I'm not reading the Wikipedia,
right.
a story account of it. By the way, Wikipedia has a thing on drones now, the New Jersey drones.
Wow.
I saw that. But you don't rely on one source.
Yeah.
Because
you can't.
What are you getting?
Right. You're getting a one-sided story.
Yeah. And a lot of people out there that are writing professional, I'm going to call them writers. I'm not going to call them journalists.
Mm-hmm.
They're one-sided. They have an opinion. I read an article today. I was just telling you about
mm-hmm.
it. Read an article today. And it was so negative and so foul. I mean, from my perspective, it was very foul. And then I get to the end and I see who he writes for. And it's one of those people, you know, gets paid millions of dollars to tell you your opinion on MSNBC.
Right.
Okay. Well, I get it now.
Right.
That's not that's not your job.
Right.
Your job is to report the news.
And what's scary about that is they label it as it's a journalistic news piece when it's really an opinion piece, right?
Definitely, you know, that's an opinion piece. And it's way opinionated.
Right. When you start stripping everything down, you just realize they're kind of hiding that under journalism.
Yeah.
A lot of people are guilty of it today.
Reading it, I did not feel enlightened with facts. Right. I felt negative in emotion.
Right. And that's not what
what I intended to go. I wanted to be enlightened by facts.
Right.
Which is what news is supposed to do, to help you out. You know, come on, tell you what's going on.
Right. It's supposed to feed you some of that information that maybe you didn't know.
It's crazy.
And give you the who, what, where, when, why, and how.
Right. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to tell you, we're trying to find the truth. What's the truth about these aliens, these spaceships, these sightings, these abductions? What do you got?
I've got a pretty interesting story I've run across, and I did the multiple checking facts, and it happened back in August of 1990 in Scotland.
Okay.
Now,
you're gonna do a Scottish.
I can't do the Scottish accent. I will go all up and down, and it'll.
Did you watch Braveheart?
I have not watched Braveheart, so I'll be in trouble. I would pronounce this town in Scotland Calvin the way it's spelled.
Okay,
but it may be Calvine. So
it could be.
Could be. So. If I'm pronouncing it wrong. But anyway, this story is supposedly the best photographic evidence we have of a UFO. And these pictures. So for the last 32 years, these images that were taken on that August day have disappeared from the public eye. And so there was a lot of speculation, a lot of theories, and a lot of myths surrounding these six photos, but there's one photo that I showed you earlier.
Yeah.
It's very clear. And what is very interesting about it is there is a Harrier jet off to the side of it.
Yeah. That's what I thought was the most impressive was the plane.
Right.
It looked like it was a little further back.
Yeah. Maybe following it, escorting it, as some people say.
And if it was further back, then. So it was either further back or this thing was really big.
Right.
Okay,
right.
That's what I was trying. Perspective.
But luckily, there's a British journalist. His name's David Clark. And so for the last 13 years, he's been doing research on this thing nonstop. And kind of this is the story of how he's found that picture. He got a hold of the Royal Air Force's press officer, a gentleman named Craig Lindsay. And remarkably enough, he had held on to one copy of the last original print, waiting for somebody to inquire about it.
Uh-huh.
He didn't go out there waving, hey, I've got this photo. But he knew at one time somebody would come asking about this, and Clark actually did that. And he's got the photo. So he's been researching this photo. And he says they took actually six pictures. And so it's a diamond-shaped object, and you see that Harrier jet spotted in the background not too far from it. So it was August 4th, 1990. There's two hikers. They see this. They take photos. They take the original photos to the Scotland Daily Record newspaper for publication. The newspaper sees this, and they immediately hand the image over to the British Ministry of Defense. And they've been the one that have kept it secret up until now.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, very.
So, but Craig Lindsay, he was the press officer. He passed that on to the Defense of London, and he kept that one copy for himself. The other thing that's strange about this is they have kept the two gentlemen's names, and it's speculated that they're two guys. They have kept their names secret and said they will not release their names until at least 2072.
Okay.
Due for security reasons.
It's like 100 years?
Right. And now this photograph actually had a person's name on the back of it. And so David Clark actually went in and did some research to find out if he could find anything out about this name. And nothing has come up whatsoever. He's never been able to find anything. But Clark kept going on and on. And he said, basically, the story is these two chefs that worked at the Scotland's Highland Hotel, they decided to go for the walk. And they're out walking. They spot, both of them see this huge diamond-shaped flying object silently in the sky. They said it scared them a little bit, so they headed towards the woodlands because they didn't want to be spotted by that thing.
Okay. Now,
I guess, luckily enough, they happen to have a camera in them. That's a little bit of the story.
What year was this again?
1990.
Okay.
So they kind of from the woods snap these six pictures, and then they see the craft disappear. Now, Clark, our guy that's been investigating this for the past 30-some-odd years, he's had this photo analyzed and analyzed and analyzed, and every time it comes back to be not manipulated with, looks very authentic, looks very real.
Okay, I have some questions.
Okay.
Was this a digital camera? What kind of camera was this?
Well, they talk about the negative, so I'm imagining it's still film.
Film camera.
Right.
In 1990, that's not unusual.
Right.
But it is unusual for people to be walking around with cameras.
Right. Two chefs. Right. Yeah. Why would they have cameras on them?
Maybe they're taking pictures of their meals like they do on Facebook.
They were the original influencers back before then. So pretty interesting stuff. Clark has a couple of theories. His one that he tends to lean to the most is that he thinks the flying object could have been what was known as the Aurora, a top secret Renaissance aircraft, which the U.S. was rumored to be building back in the 80s.
Why would they test it in UK?
Well, and here's the other thing here's the kind of the flaw in that theory. There's never any evidence of such a project, and the U.S. government has constantly denied its existence.
Well, I don't believe anything the government says. I believe a chef or whoever this guy is over the government.
Yeah.
But hey, let me ask, you know a lot about photography.
Mm-hmm.
And you know a little bit about military.
Right.
If there's a secret project, do they all end up somewhere or do they scrap a bunch of them? Like you get to a certain point, you're like, yeah, this is not going to work, or we found a better way.
They would keep it for historical purposes for a while. And then, like, even the stuff that we did, there was an incinerator on base and it gets incinerated. So there is no trace, because if there's something that's secret like that, you're going to incinerate that because you don't want it to get into an adversary's hands.
Okay, so if you're testing something in 1990,
right,
and then they found something better, mm-hmm, and they scrapped it, there may not be any evidence there.
Right. Especially if this Aurora was something fueled in the 80s.
Yeah, so we could be waiting for something that will never come.
Right.
Okay.
So it's kind of a mystery. This particular photo is making rounds again because people are kind of claiming this and crowning this as, you know, people want this great photographic evidence. And they're saying, here you go. This was taken in 1990.
And then they say what? What do the naysayers say? Show us the photo.
Yeah.
Show us the photo. Here's the photo.
Here's the photo. Yeah. And obviously there's the jet in the background. Some people think it was either escorting it or following it. It wasn't, you know, interacting with this craft, but it definitely, I showed you the picture. I can show it to you again here real quick.
Okay. There's my other question. Did you read anything about this pilot of the Harrier jet?
Would
that be a U.S. pilot
there's no known record of who that pilot was.
Would that jet be a U.S. jet?
No one knows.
That's a great picture. Yeah. I saw the picture.
It's pretty clear.
And it's a diamond-shaped craft. Mm-hmm. Almost a disc.
Yeah, but almost disc-like. Yeah. Not quite cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite triangular.
You know, you got a clear top and bottom.
Yeah. So, you know.
You got shadow on the bottom.
Not only were the chefs good cooks, but they could cook up some good photography.
I'm just wondering why they had a big camera with them.
Right. So, I mean, there's definitely questions to be asked as far as and why this is such an intriguing mystery for people, you know, who love UFOs. And that's what kind of caught my attention to it was, wow, there's a lot of questions here and really not any answers. outside of this journalist there mm-hmm. who has kind of dug around on this for the last 32 years and then, you
32
know,
years.
32 years. Right. And so it's speculated and it's almost grown like Bigfoot or something, you know, the myth just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And I'm sure people have added to the story in Scotland and, mm-hmm. And now with the internet, it can travel and people can add things to it. But kind of at the heart of it is we know these two guys were hiking. We believe they were chefs at this hotel. They happen to have a camera on them. They took 6 pictures. This is the most famous picture of them all. There's a jet there.
Yeah.
These things disappeared for 32 years. One guy from the Royal Air Force, kind of a public information officer, kept one copy away from the Ministry of Defense, thinking somebody would come and inquire about this. I guess he didn't want to be a whistleblower back then. He just kind of stayed in the shadows thinking, well, maybe somebody will come to me. And luckily Clark did. And why are they keeping these names private for almost 100 years?
Yeah.
Which leads me...
Why 2072? Why right. that number?
Yeah. It's just it's like this It'll random
82
number.
82 years.
Yeah. So it leads me to believe on this one, maybe it's not a foreign aircraft, that it is a government. And maybe it's a joint effort between the U.S. and Britain. And they just didn't want it to get out. And maybe that was an area. I don't know that area of Scotland very well. Maybe they thought it was, you know, why wouldn't you do it at night though? Right.
Why would you do it in Scotland?
That? Right.
We have so much empty land here.
Right.
That you could.
So I don't know. Interesting story, but that's kind of my take on this one. I'm putting that kind of skeptical hat on after reading all the accounts and reading the theories and going, yeah, with this one, although it's very impressive and very much looks like a UAP, UFO, I think as secretive as they've been with this, that it's probably something more that they just didn't want to get out. Or maybe it was one they've reversed engineered. Who knows?
It's interesting to me that whenever we, you know, a lot of the cases that we talk about, we go back to it's a military, you know, secret project. Mm-hmm. We do that a lot.
Right. We're giving our military a lot of credit. Well, and I'm not saying that the military doesn't deserve credit. What I'm saying is I've seen the inefficiencies in the military. So then when they talk about some of this stuff, I go, I don't know if they can pull that off or not. I mean, they're pretty good at you know, going to war and stuff, but sometimes the lead up and the other stuff.
Yeah. So that's interesting. You know, we're trying to find a plausible mm-hmm. explanation for a lot of these things. And it's probably where the easiest one to go to.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's just military exploration.
And maybe that's our fault too, right? Because that's kind of been.
I don't want to say that it's something from outer space.
I think that's kind of the main thing that everybody just goes to now. It's easy, right? We can make sense of that.
Yeah.
Possibly. So yeah, we'll go to that.
Yeah, we can explain that.
So maybe not. Maybe they saw this and they intercepted it.
What I like to go to before, you know, military explanation would be it's a hoax.
Yeah.
I like the hoax one because there's a lot of people out there that are going to hoax you.
Yeah. Well, and to put so much effort in a hoax just to get a little publicity, right? Like that's a lot of effort.
There's a lot of people that would do that.
Especially back then with film, you know, to manipulate the film and not be, yeah. you know, that's today. It's probably a little easier if you're really good at computers and you can go in and probably hide it. Although, you know, there's people now in the police departments and the FBI and everybody else like that, that have, you know, these digital forensic experts now.
You ask, why would somebody go to the links to mm-hmm. create a hoax? Why would somebody climb Mount Everest?
It's challenging.
There you go.
Because they can.
There you go. I mean, I wouldn't do it.
I think I look at
it. But I understand why mm-hmm. someone would.
I guess the laziness in me comes out on something like that. Just like, it just seems like a lot of work. Maybe it's my age.
I have more adventure in me than you do. Yeah. I like the adventure. I would, if I was younger and knowledgeable and in shape and, mm-hmm. you know, did that kind of thing, I would probably try to get to that point.
Yeah.
But you don't do it all at once. I'm not going to go sign it right now. You got to do all these other climbs first. Anyway, Sorry, didn't mean to get off task.
No, you're fine. You're absolutely fine.
All right, I've got a story. It's from 1976. It's called the Johnny Sands case.
Johnny Sands.
Johnny Sands. That sounds like an entertainer name, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, he is an entertainer in Las Vegas back in 1976. He was 30 years old.
Nice.
Country Western singer. Okay. He had a close encounter when he was living in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay.
He was trying to promote his first recording and was appearing in a show. So he was out late one night and probably about midnight, and he goes outside and he sees in the sky a large object that he describes looking like the Goodyear blimp.
Okay.
And it had lights all around the center of it.
Was it the Goodyear blimp, Johnny?
Did it have Goodyear written across the middle yeah. side of it? Could have been the Goodyear blimp.
Yeah.
That's an identified object, right, Mr. Sands?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right, we shouldn't make fun of it. No, this is serious. This is serious. Yep. Serious story. It lands, and creatures get out, and they basically, he has an alien abduction.
Okay.
Now, this is a time in the country where a lot of this is going on. A lot of these reports, people are reporting the same thing. They're describing, the occupants the same way. And so it's like a rash of UFO incidents.
Okay. So there's probably a lot of skepticism around this story because they sound a lot like the others.
Well, I was thinking the other way. I was thinking they support one another.
Right.
Which could be, right?
Could be.
Okay. Well, he's reporting that he's seen. If you want to make it big in the music industry, you really don't want to report a UFO sighting.
You wouldn't think so, right? Because that's ridicule.
Wait a minute. We were just saying early any publicity is good publicity. Yeah. If you're talking about him, hey, what's his music sound like? Let's go see.
Yeah.
All right. So, we couldn't just listen to him on
Apple Music or whatever. Yeah, you had to go buy an album. So if they didn't like it, it was tough at that point.
Sorry, you got out $10.
Yeah, you got the money.
Oh, no, $7.
Yeah.
Okay, so he has a polygraph test.
I'm going to say he passes it, doesn't he?
I don't know. I didn't read that part. I'm going to read the... I'll find out in a minute, just like you will.
Okay. I'm going to say he passes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to... You know, you're front of your when we're not recording. Okay. So here's some of the questions and the answers. On January 29th, did you see two strange figures in the desert? Answer?
Yes.
Did you communicate with these strange figures?
Yes.
Did these strange figures tell you that they would see you again?
Yes.
Were you under the influence of anything at the time of this meeting?
No.
No. Regarding what happened on Thursday, January 29th, have you told the truth about what you saw that night?
Yes.
So on the chart, there were a total of three charts obtained using the above relevant questions. During these charts, Mr. Sands indicated an ability to respond automatically to vocal stimuli. His responses in the critical areas were not consistent with deception criteria.
So he passed.
Mm-hmm. All right. When I was in junior college, my psychiatry professor taught us how to pass a polygraph test. And it works.
Is it the old pin in your shoe?
What's a pin in your shoe? Tell me that method.
There's like you put like a tack or a pin in your shoe, and it, before you answer, supposedly if you press down on it to stimulate some pain, it can regulate if you're lying, supposedly.
Yeah, it's similar to that. So a polygraph measures stress on the body, and it does it a bunch of different areas. They strap you up pretty good. When you're answering the questions truthfully, you press, put the toe, your toe on the pin, on the tack.
Right.
And that causes stress.
Right.
And when you lie, you don't do that. It causes stress because you're lying. You can't help it. You cannot help your body lying. So, yeah.
You're masking.
Same thing, but his was different. His was like you tap your toe. You just tap your toe when you're the whole time. But when you lie, you stop. Don't tap your toe when you lie. Hmm. And I took a polygraph at work. Yes, I lied. it was something very minor.
Right.
And I did it. And I passed.
Wow.
Yeah. I had a beer in the parking lot. I don't think that's what they were looking for.
Right.
But the question was, have you ever taken drugs on property? And I'm thinking... that could be considered drugs.
Right. That's the problem with those questions, right? Because you don't get to explain yourself and go, well, I mean, I had a beer in the parking lot.
Yeah, I had a beer in the parking lot. Actually, they do. They'll allow you. Well, you showed something on number 10 that you've never stolen anything. It's like, well, I took a piece of candy out of the candy jar.
Right. Yeah. Is that the same thing?
Yeah. So that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there are companies that do that.
Well, and you know, we were talking earlier about the publicity for Johnny Sands, and you'd have to buy his record. I don't know who Johnny Sands is, so if this was a publicity, you know, scheme or stunt, he didn't execute it well.
Well, there's a lot more information on here that I did not cover,
right?
About his
life.
No, well, actually, about his encounter. It's not a whole lot. I just wanted to talk about the polygraph and there's a lot of these stories being reported around that time, 76.
Yeah.
And 73 too.
And you're right. You could go either route. Either it's very supporting or people became very skeptical of it because there was so many of them. And how were they being reported? We talked about journalism earlier. The journalism was probably a little bit better back then.
I think it was a lot better back then.
I think there was more objectivity and they were just trying to do the who, what, where, when, why, and how. But I think too, as people ingest some of this stuff, they go, oh, it's just, there's a lot of that too. So yeah. I don't know, Johnny, wherever you are today, hope you're okay.
Well, he didn't hit it big.
No.
Maybe he did in the country music world. But I wasn't listening to country music in the 70s or 80s.
Right.
Or 90s.
He probably got swept away. He's probably about to make it big, and then Urban Cowboy come out, and it just ruined everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's really hard. It is really hard to break it. I was just in Nashville. Okay, this is what they do in Nashville. I'm in a hotel. I go to the bar. $18 drink. Just give me an old-fashioned. My drink is an old-fashioned. Yeah. I like an old-fashioned. Simple. Two little shots of bourbon, little simple syrup,
right.
Bitters. Right? Nothing to it.
Some places a fruit salad in there as well.
Yeah, sometimes they put a lot of oranges and cherries in there. They put one cherry and then they kind of teased it with an orange. So it was like very tastefully done. It's very nice. It was good. They used a local bourbon that somebody makes there in Nashville. $18.
You're paying for the experience.
$18. But they had a guy on stage and he was on The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's pretty good and he's singing, he's taking requests and he's nailing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only working for tips.
Mm-hmm.
They're not paying him why should they?
Yeah.
And that's what I think every place you go to is going to have somebody playing. Like you go to a bar that has a bar on every floor. It's like four floors. There's a different bar. There's a performer on each floor. Mm-hmm. And they're not paying any of them. They're all working for tips just to get out there, just to be noticed.
Yeah. And you'd think the guy from The Voice, you'd think, hey, I was on that. That's going to give me a leg up. But
nope.
Not in that industry.
It's tough. Like it acting. Is hard it's, to get into. So it doesn't surprise me we've never heard of Johnny Sands.
Yeah, that's true. He sounds like a good guy. I'd like to hang out with him, maybe have a beer with him.
Yeah, well, remember, believe none of what you hear and half of what you read.
If you like the show, we would like to encourage you to help support us. You can do that with just $3 a month. Head over to the website, click on support. We would really appreciate the help and would be happy to give you a shout out. In addition to that, we've got those UFO and Aliens podcast stickers.
Got a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yep. They're really cool. Do you have a UFO story that you'd like to share? Is there a UFO story that you'd like for us to look into? Just send us an email at ufoandalienpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Rick Black.
And I'm Robert Wiley.
We'll talk to you next time.